Naperville teen's senseless death is the headline of a page one story by Stacy St. Clair, who is in our studio today. Stacy and I have talked many times, and I appreciate you coming into the studio this afternoon. Stacy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
My goodness, what a story.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I've been in journalism for 20 years, and I think it's probably the toughest one I've had to write and cover.
Had you been following the story of this young boy, Corey Walgren, for some time?
Yeah, I live in Naperville. So it was a story everybody in Naperville was sort of whispering about, but I couldn't find out exactly what happened, and things I heard didn't seem quite right. So I started digging around, and I started with, you know, getting his coroner's report and reading the details there, and then getting police reports.
You had to use a Freedom of Information request?
I did, yeah.
Why are they that way about that?
Well, with the coroner's report, that's just sort of standard. They didn't put up any fight. You know, I filed an Freedom of Information Act request. They turned it over. With the Naperville Police Department, there was some back and forth. They were not really interested in first in turning anything over.
Sure.
And I pushed back a little bit, and the Tribune pushed back, and they turned over some documents, and then from there I had a pretty good sense of what had happened. Then I started doing like further reporting in the community.
What happened to this young man?
So Corey Walgren was a 16-year-old junior at Naperville North High School, and he, on the morning, or the, I guess, 1 o'clock lunchtime on January 11th, was called into the dean's office at the school, and he was asked about a recording that was on his cell phone of a consensual sexual encounter that he'd had with a female classmate.
Who is also 16.
She had found out about the recording that day, and according to reports, was mortified about it, did not know existed, and she went to her dean and complain about it, and then Corey was called in.
She complained because he was also sharing it with his friends.
She believed he was sharing it with,
fair enough,
with his friends.
Yeah.
And so they called Corey into a room with a Naperville police officer who was assigned to the school, and another dean, and they talked to him, according to the police reports, for 18 minutes. They've referred to it as a child pornography investigation in public documents. He handed over his phone. They said he was cooperative, that he was forthright. They called after talking to him for 18 minutes, called his mother, told his mother that it was a child's pornography investigation, and that it was possible that Corey could end up on the state sex offender.
And they're calling a child, right, and they told him and her that you could be now listed as a child sexual offender?
Correct. That's what Mrs. Walgren says.
And it's child pornography because the young lady is 16.
Because they're both 16.
Yeah.
And what it turned out, though, I should clarify, the recording turned out to be in actuality was audio of the encounter, which is still should not have, you know, been recorded. But it was not child pornography. There were no pornographic images found.
Oh, no kidding. The definition does not include audio.
It does not.
Because it is a video, but you can't see.
Correct.
It's
sort of as if the when the phone recorded it, the lens was placed down. So it's dark.
So you just hear the sounds of the two
sounds
of them. And he's playing this for his friends. She calls the dean. She's mortified. They call him in.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you describe their tactics to him?
Well, the school district and the police department say they acted responsibly and within their procedures. The family disagrees. You know, his mom told me that she thinks that they were trying to scare him straight, and instead they scared him to death, because after he hung up the phone with the mom and mentioned the sex offender registry,
the dean
and the police officer, they left Corey alone. And he then got up and walked out of school and walked about a mile to downtown Naperville and killed himself from the top of a parking deck.
Jumped off a 50-story or 50-foot high,
yeah,
parking deck.
Yep.
The girl has not cooperated with your story. Her family did not cooperate with the story.
I could not reach her. So they didn't decline to cooperate. We were not able to reach her parents. And it was important to me to talk to her parents first before I could speak with her.
Is it the thrust of the story? Is it your point that the school mishandled it, that they should have not terrified this young man so much so that he felt like his life was over?
His parents definitely believe that. Illinois state law, there are some exceptions, but says that a minor should not be interrogated by a police officer without parental notification. There are exceptions if they think, you know, there is an existing, you know, danger, if there's immediate safety concern.
Yeah, why wasn't his mother or father in there during this sort of explanation of, young man, your life here is in serious, you know, change?
That's a question only the school can answer, because when they called his mother, she said, "I'm leaving work right away and I will be there."
Right. They first tried to reach the father. They couldn't. They then tried to reach the mother. They did. She said, "I'll be there in 50 minutes. She was there much quicker than that.
She went right there.
But had they already talked to him prior to that, or no?
The police officer and the dean, we know from the police records, spoke with Corey by himself for 18 minutes.
Right. And then was there there was never a communal meeting. She never saw Corey.
There was a communal speakerphone conversation where they said, "Hey, Corey's in trouble. This is a child pornography investigation, you know, potential."
Can you imagine getting that phone call? Did he have any history of anxiety or mental illness?
No, according to the coroner's report and the police reports, he had no history of mental illness, had never shown any signs of suicide. His friends told me he was joking around at lunch.
No drug and alcohol abuse.
Never been in trouble in school. His friends said he was joking around at the lunch table up until the moment he was asked to come to the office.
Hmm. So then he comes into the office. This happens, and then he walks off the campus.
Right.
And presumably does that voluntarily, that it is a suicide.
Yes. It's ruled a suicide by the coroner.
Stacey, don't you think, though, when you hear stories of suicide, be it a famous grunge rocker last week or somebody that we've never heard of before, that it almost always has to be something underlying it other than that last thing that pushed them over, that you or I wouldn't commit suicide because we're not predisposed? Some people maybe are. You can't always. That's why we tell people, when a loved one commits suicide, there's nothing you could have done about it, or it's not your fault. So even though he did not show any history, I wonder how fair, quote unquote, blaming the school or the police is for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I certainly can't. I'm not a psychologist. I wasn't his psychologist. I can't get into
your story doesn't blame them either. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Sort of lays the facts out. I think his parents are questioning, you know, why you would, you know, if that was the thing that sent him over. And I think they would argue that there was nothing before that. But even if there were, why was he interrogated by himself? And then why was he left alone after he was interrogated?
Right. So then why was he allowed to wander off campus, having just... And here's a young man who gets good grades. He's on the hockey team. Mm-hmm. The only guy on the hockey team to never have a penalty minute.
Yes.
The guy that organized fun things for the boys. He was doing all the things that you hope your kids would do. He confessed to his parents. This is an interesting part of your story. Just a week before that, he had had a sexual encounter. I don't know if it was the same one or the same girl. But this is the kind of young man who's actually having a conversation with his parents about that.
Right. I mean... So then you have to say, okay, well, one fear he couldn't have had in his mind is like, what are my parents going to do when they find out I'm having sex?
Because
he'd
already
had that conversation with his parents. And his parents said, like, you know, look, it wasn't a comfortable conversation, and it wasn't a fun conversation by any means, but we had it.
His mother said, "We weren't proud of that." And I thought, of course you're not proud of it, but I actually think it's terrific if you have a relationship with a young man such that at the age of 16, he'll sit down and talk to you about that.
Right. And I think that shows, the reason why I included that in the story, because I think it shows the relationship he had with his parents.
You also said that they had had numerous conversations with him. His mom, like many of us, were always pointing out to our children things that happen in the world and say, "Now, don't let that happen. Don't be this. Don't do that.
Right.
See what happened here." So they were always prodding him in the right direction. And then he wanders off the campus and takes his own life.
Mm-hmm.
You may have read the story today. Page 1, Naperville teen's senseless death. in the Chicago Tribune. Stacy St. Clair is in our studio. Your question or comment, my number is 312-981-7200. A few of you have something to say about this story. Next on WGN. Okay, it's 1:52. All of our phone lines are busy with calls for Stacy St. Clair, Chicago Tribune reporter. Page one today, you saw the grief-stricken parents who, months later now, are still dealing with the death of their 16-year-old son by suicide, Naperville teen's senseless death. There are Maureen Walgren and her husband Doug. Their sorry son Corey took his own life after an investigation at the school. They said, you've got pornography on your phone. It was consensual sex between him and another 16-year-old girl. But the consequences of this now were presented to him perhaps as so dire that the devastated young man wandered off campus and took his own life. And we have lots of phone calls for you, Stacy. We'll start with Teresa. You're on WGN. Teresa, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Well, first of all, we know that teenagers have poor impulse control and their brain is not developed to process things like an adult. Yeah. But you take a child into a room and you bully him. You tell him the worst case scenario is going to happen to him and his whole life is going to be ruined. And then you're surprised that he walked away and did that. It's the school and the police department's fault that this happened. They should have waited till a parent got there. And why would you give somebody, I mean, he was proven guilty before he was even brought into a court. He didn't get that opportunity, even if they did find something on him, and they gave him that your life is ruined.
Yeah, that's I appreciate your call, Teresa. Lots of calls. I'm going to let Stacy comment and then move on to another one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how his parents view it, that he was sort of given the worst case scenario. The police did put in their reports that they never intended to charge him with a crime, that they were going to do what's called a station adjustment.
Did they explain that to him?
They explained it to his mother, and she said she understood, but she also, at the same time, still had sex offender registry ringing in her head.
But you did not just say that they had explained it to him.
He was on that speakerphone.
He was on that call. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Teresa. And your point, too, by the way, is that everybody needs to what? I mean, so is this a conversation we need to have with our kids?
Yeah, I think everyone should have a conversation.
And how does that conversation go?
I think, I almost think the conversation, not to, you know, promote the Tribune, but I'm going to approach the Tribune, I would say, read this story and let's talk about it. Because from start to finish, I think there are teachable moments.
I would, my answer to my own question is, I want to impress upon my kids, nothing so bad can happen that we can't resolve it or manage it.
Right.
Don't think this is a burden you have to carry on your own. Teresa, thanks for the call. Kevin, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Your last caller really hit all the high points for me, except she missed one. This young man was the epitome of the good kid. He was everybody's friend. He was the organizer of his friends, his brothers and sisters. He didn't do anything wrong. And when they came down on him this hard, when you're dealing with a teenage mind, that was the end of his world.
Yeah. Kevin, thanks for the call. Comment from you?
You know, I think even his parents would agree that the recording was wrong.
And the sharing was wrong.
Right. And
I mean, that's against the law.
The recording of audio is without someone's consent is a crime in Illinois. It is not child pornography. But I think, you know, that's one thing I really appreciated about the Walgreens in talking to you about this story is they never tried to sugarcoat what happened and what led to him being in that dean's office because, you know, they're not proud of that and they were upset about it. In fact, his mom told me that on the way over to the school, her thoughts alternated between, like, please, God, don't let this be as bad as I think it is. And then also, I am going to wring his neck.
How many of us have thought that? If we survive this, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Parents have said that to themselves before. Kevin, great point. Thanks for the call. This is Rob. You're on the air. Go ahead, Rob.
You know, I totally agree with everything, you know, that these other listeners are talking about. So number one, you have the law that they push themselves onto people and interrogate them and push them to scare them. And to deal with the fragile mind of a 16-year-old. I mean, I have five kids. My son just graduated. He's 17. He's going to go into Marine Corps. He's going to be scared to hell when he goes there. But you deal with something like this with the police and them interrogate, number one, they broke the law. They should know better. Even the school should have known better.
The cops did.
The cops and the schools. Well, the cops probably pushed the school to also go along with them. But
well, let me ask you both, Rob. Hold on a second. Stacey, is it your estimation that that was the point? Rob just said they tried to scare this kid. Was that what they were doing?
That is part of the idea of a station adjustment is to make the juvenile understand the severity of the crime without giving them a criminal record. So in station adjustments, I think by their very nature are a little bit of, you know, we're gonna scare you. But you know, as like I said, Corey's mom said, they ended up scaring him to death.
It's page one in today's Chicago Tribune. Buy a copy, you can read it online. Stacy's email address and Twitter handle are there if you want to further reach out to her and talk about it. And as I suspect, this isn't the last time you're going to end up reporting on this story.
No.
Let's make a point to have a longer conversation and take
Absolutely.
More calls. We're getting lots of texts and phone calls about it. Stacy St. Clair says, if you have a young person in your world, get them to read this story and then talk to them about it. Thanks, Stacy.
Thanks.
News is next on WGN.